WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Chicago just announced its first ever Poet Laureate. This is the Reset Podcast. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Avery R. Young, the poet who got the title, says poetry is all around us. You can find it in something as simple as the alphabet song. He'll act as kind of an ambassador for poetry in Chicago. He's also tasked with creating new public programming for young people and students. He's joined us right now here in studio. Avery, welcome.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
You're singing along.
I'm the Poet Laureate!
You are the new Poet Laureate.
I can say it now. I've been holding this in for so long. I was like, oh my goodness.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I mean, what were you doing when you heard the news?
I had just had lunch with Eve Ewing.
Oh, wow.
Just had lunch with Eve Ewing.
We love Eve over here.
catching up and then got in the car. I was driving to some other situation and then got the phone call. Avery, you're being vetted. I said, huh? But it's you. If everything works out, it'll be you. I was like, okay. It didn't dawn on me until I got the email with all the forms to fill out.
It felt real at that point.
Right. I was like, why am I filling out a W-9? Oh.
That usually means a new job. I mean.
That's exactly what it kicked into the W-9. Okay, all right.
Well, you're already, I mean, you're doing so much. You're already an award-winning composer. You're a teacher. You're a visual artist. You're a producer. You're a musician. Yes. You do it all.
And I'm opening up a restaurant.
You're opening up a restaurant. So how would you say, though, that these various pursuits, how did they influence one another? I mean, does your music or your teaching, does that play a role in how you compose poetry, for instance?
Well, I grew up in the Baptist church,
okay, right?
And I don't understand language without music. So I don't, like, I have no early memory that does not include music, right? And if it was no more than humming, hand clapping, and foot stomping, language has always kind of been married to music ever since I was a kid, right? And the theatrics of a sermon, right? The amen, the people, and I remember just watching a minister, Pastor Smith, when I was like young, and I just was listening to him talking, was kind of seeing the reactions of the members of the church, and I was like, you know what? That's what I want to do. I want to just transform space through language.
Was it something about the way he commanded attention?
Everything. It was the way he was commanding attention. What he was saying that was affirming whatever it was inside of people to get them to stand up and wave hands and clap hands and shout.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw my big mama crying and I was like, what is he doing? Is he a magician?
And maybe your poetry could do that too.
And I was thinking poems could do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do through poems, is transform space.
Yeah. Well, I love that you've said that you hope that your work is a progression of the Black arts movement.
Yes.
It started back in the 60s and 70s in the U.S. So will your work now as Chicago's Poet Laureate, will that continue that conversation with art as a form of activism?
I hope so. That's what I've been doing. And getting from the preacher to Nina Simone and Oscar Brown Jr. and Gil Scott-Heron and all of those other artists who took the art but also gave us this, used the art to talk about social justice issues and the problems, and also the celebrations that happen that go often unseen within the community and within the space. And so we're way bigger than what the TV says about us, right? And that's what poems know, right? And so I hope to do that with the knowledge of poems, show that within the knowledge of poems.
Yeah. Right, right. You're also a 2022 Leader for a New Chicago. This is an award from the Field Foundation.
Yes.
And it recognizes accomplishments in justice, art, or media and storytelling.
Yes.
It also provides grants for you and a nonprofit that you're working with on that work.
Yes.
In this case, it's Urban Gateways.
Urban Gateways.
Yeah. Can you tell us more about them?
Urban Gateways is an arts education non-for-profit that works in with schools on curriculum-based or art-infused curriculum, right?
Okay.
So take the Civil War and you work on a classroom and make it a podcast, right? And so trying to be creative with the curriculum. And they also have Street Level, which is media training spot for young folk in the city, and work with along with them. And we've been doing amazing work together.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been there. I was just saying to somebody, there was a culture of calm that was started some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that Simeon and through Urban Gateways created this poetry team that they still have to this day. Poets Never Die.
Really?
Right? So it's when you see, this is like, this announcement has made me kind of take stock in the things that I've done in the city. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
Are you seeing how the dots connect now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're doing it, right? But I had to kind of sit back and kind of, it was like that scene in Beautiful Mind. The constellation. I was like, oh, okay. This is how this works.
And yeah.
I'm like, wow. You've done all this.
You've done it.
Well, it's all good. I just do the work. Because when you're doing the work, you just do the work, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking about it. And I really hadn't said that. There's no plan.
And the work speaks for itself.
And the work will speak for itself.
Why don't we have you read a poem for us?
Yes, let's do this. Yeah. This is hot off the press this morning. It is the official first poem I've written as a poet laureate.
So is this a WBEZ exclusive?
This is a WBE exclusive.
Chicago's first ever poet laureate reading his first ever poet laureate poem.
Yes.
Okay. The floor is yours.
Here we go. Down the street from skyscrapers for Spider, Miss Stamps, and Representative C. Nichols, and the old Jenner. Inside a portrait that a window frames, the sky be dynamite and turquoise, birdless, with his chest out, ready to wrestle a bulldozer playing Godzilla to a tenement keeping its head above rubble. Tenement half gone, its battle with Godzilla stalled by the brisk wind rolling a bottle over a needle in a rock stack. You can't hear the rolling over the stones or a boy's face in the middle of laughing. Him father pushing him on a swing inside the hawk of this day, yards away from the exodus of the Evans and the entry of the Jeffersons. But back to the boy and him father. I believe it's him father. They puff jackets match.
Ooh. You got to tell us the inspiration behind that.
Wow. I was at a school, Jenna. I was at a school and the prompt assignment was to go to the window and just write down the things you see.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Cabrini Green was being torn down, so there was this bulldozer, like this half knocked down building.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold, but you couldn't tell by the sun and the sky. You know, looked like it was 89 degrees outside, but it was 44.
Right. You got a lot of those days in Chicago.
A lot of those days in Chicago, like it was so Chicago, and it was this dude swinging the child on a swing, but nobody wrote that down. Like, mm-hmm. when they went to listen, they list everything. It's like, needle, paper bags, garbage, broken bottles, rocks, the book.
It's as though they didn't see them.
As if they did not see see them. And we learned that, you know, and I was explaining to them, well, no, this is like a poem dreams of this moment, because there's so much juxtaposition, there's so much image, you know, imagery with poems are about what people experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that day, 20 kids looked at the same thing and wrote 20 things down. And then even I had something else to say about what we all were looking at.
Yeah.
Right? So it's
I love that. It's the innocent moment between father and child there. Yeah. I love your descriptive words. How would you describe your poetic style?
Oh, it's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of that. I call all of it the art South Funk. So it's a lot of influences from I'm building a code that's layering Black dialect, but also learning what I've learned in school, you know, the colonial American English. But it's also playing along with cultural references that from the poem alone, the Evans and the Jeffersons,
yes.
You know, and we understand the Evansons lived in Cabrini Green, and the Jeffersons was in the deluxe apartments that are now
moving on up.
Moving on up, that's now, you know, what Cabrini Green was. And then there's like the idea of making a thing new, turning phrases like, the needle in a haystack becomes a needle in a rock stack, right? Just, yeah. I'm like doing a lot of that.
And I love that.
Get to do all of that.
When did you first get into poetry?
Oh, I was third grade. I was kind of responding to a situation that happened in the classroom. I called myself, you know, like dragging the teacher for filth. And then she was just like, wow. Avery, did you write this by yourself? And then all of a sudden, I was in oratory competitions and writing poems. And then when I became an adult and was actually running an open mic at Biddy Mulligan's, I went to a place called LitX. And LitX met this guy named Jay Love, who was just like, have you ever thought about doing poetry professionally?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, but I'll think about it now. And boom, boom, bang.
Here we are.
Here we are.
So here's something I've wondered about. It's your name.
Yes.
It's in all lowercase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bell Hooks.
Bell Hooks, E.E. Cummings. Yeah, there's definitely
a couple authors, of course, that we've seen do this.
Yes.
So what is behind that for you?
Bell Hooks.
So that was the inspiration.
Bell Hooks is the inspiration. I was like, okay, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks cool.
Thank you. I thought so. And I think the R, like the R in the middle of it, is
it grabs
like,
attention. Yeah.
It grabs attention. It was just like, and in a sea of names, it does like this colonial and proper way in which you spell noun, proper nouns or whatever. There's this lowercase joint that kind of sets it all together.
Yeah.
Because I tell all the students to make a poem or an artwork that only your hands can craft and be distinctive. So when people see it, they go, oh, okay. All right.
You are on top of the many things. You're co-director at the Floating Museum.
Yes, indeed. The Floating Museum.
So
yes.
I want you to talk about that group and your work there.
Yes. So the Floating Museum is actually in the middle of curating the Chicago Architecture Biennial that opens September 21st.
Okay.
In Chicago. So in the middle of receiving this news that I'm the first poet laureate of Chicago, I am actually planning where statues and and programming will be inside the cultural center and around the city. So this we've started out. Well, I started out with the Floating Museum when we had a barge floating up the river. We've done the Founders. We just came from Springfield with the Founders Monument, which is a four-sided inflatable that features the faces of Dusab, Harold Washington, mm-hmm. a child from the bust from the collection in the Dusab Museum, and Kitahawa Dusab, who was the Potawatomi partner of Dusab, who a lot of people don't really know about. Mm-hmm. But like the whole point of us really getting into this work is so that people also know like the first lady of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the first lady, yes.
The first lady, yeah. I mean, you touched on this before, Avery, but you've You've worked with different organizations to really help youth overcome social barriers, yes, economic barriers, barriers to accessing Chicago's art scene, yes, specifically, right? I mean, what's the end goal there?
The work. I always bring it back to the work.
Yeah.
Art in schools or art in a student's day is usually the only time they have within the day where what they think about anything matters. You know, math is not from their brain or their creativity, social studies, science, et cetera. So even gym, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily anything that they go, oh, I thought of that.
Right. It might not come automatically.
It might not come automatically. But them engaged in art really goes, okay, what I have to say about the world, how am I responding to a thing that I may have researched, experienced, or even made up, matters. So all this time is just being about doing that work, giving them the platform, making, yeah, spaces available, and not just in the classroom. Let's put you all in galleries. Let's put you all in museums so that, like, mama and daddy can be excited about
this
art
wonderful
you do, that you do in the school. So this is what I want to do with this lawyership, is really make more of those connections for them and give them those opportunities and make those spaces, yeah, accessible to them even more.
I mentioned earlier that this new ambassador position with Chicago, it grants you some funding to,
yes,
to create public creative programming.
Yes.
So how do you plan to use that money?
First, I got to get some more funding. I'm just gonna be real deal about it. Very transparent. I'm going to do the work of getting adequate funding to do it right.
Okay.
So that's what we want to do. I want to, again, engage folks into doing residencies and talking about Chicago and the many places and people and things that make this city great, and kind of shift the narrative that Chicago is just a very dangerous place to live in and things of that nature. So
before I let you go, I got to mention that you will have your first public appearance in this role on Saturday at the Chicago Public Library's annual National Poetry Month celebration. It's going to be at Harold Washington Library Center.
Yes, it is.
Anything you can share quickly about that event?
Oh, we're going to wang dang doodle. Come through.
We're
going to wang dang doodle all afternoon long. But it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. I'm so excited for the city to celebrate a poet, right? I'm like a poet. I'm just a poet, right? And it's for the city to celebrate poetry and it like they would, you know, Walter Payton. I'm down for it.
We will leave it there. Avery R. Young is Chicago's first poet laureate. Such a joy talking to you. Thank you so much. That episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Brenda Ruiz, and it was edited by Ethan Schwab and Dan Tucker. To get to know Reset guests even better, you got to sign up for the brand new Reset newsletter. It launches May 1st, and it has exclusive recommendations from the awesome Chicagoans that we have on the show every single day. Head over to wbez.org/reset to sign up. That's all for the Reset podcast. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Talk to you again soon.